organizations like ALEC undermine the principles of citizens participating in democratic processes. ALEC Exposed explained how ALEC functions, who is involved, and how to fight back to promote democratic, non-corporate values. Again, that's ALEC Exposed, June 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church on Southwest 12th and Salmon in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Nepal Aid Concert, Saturday, June 20th at 7 p.m. at 4200 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. The event will feature live music by Manda and the Latin Sound Trio, poetry by Alex Dang, Nepali dance performances and lessons, and more. Again, that's the Nepal Aid Concert, Saturday, June 20th, 7 p.m. at 4200 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland 5, presenting an evening with Brazilian classical guitar duo, the Assad Brothers, with Romero Lumbambo. Wednesday, June 24th at the Winningstad Theater. Tickets and information for the Assad Brothers is available at portland5.com.
You're listening to a song called Sonata from Kiran Ahluwalia's latest album, Sonata Stillness. Sitting in for Dime Roberts, I'm Sarika Mehta, and this is Stage and Studio. Kiran Ahluwalia is a two-time Juno Award-winning modern Indian music singer from India, Canada, and for the past several years, New York City. Kiran began as a ghazal singer and in recent years focuses more on modern Indian music. Her unique style has always incorporated elements of neighboring music styles, including contemporary jazz, as well as Saharan blues and others. She recently released her latest album, Sonata Stillness. You can also see a music video for Hayat, a song from that album, which is online. This music video was filmed on site in India, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Kiran Ahluwalia is our guest today, and she joins me by phone from New York City. This is Stage and Studio. Good morning, Kiran, or actually, good afternoon for you. Welcome back to KBOO.
Good afternoon, Sarika, and good morning to everyone in Portland.
Well, congratulations on this latest album, Sonata Stillness. It's lovely. And I remember when you came to Portland for your debut concert back in 2013, and you gave us a taste of the song. So tell us more about this album.
The album is with my five-piece group, electric guitar, electric bass, harmonium, and tabla, and then myself. And it's a mix. My music is a hybrid music. It's not a pure music of anything. It's a hybrid. And the main elements of it are Indian music, but also Saharan desert blues and elements of jazz. And, you know, some singer-songwriter elements as well. And I wrote most of the lyrics and the compositions, and on the album, and also have a two covers that are Qawwali songs. The genre of music is Qawwali. One cover of Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan's, and another old Bollywood cover, a Qawwali Bollywood cover, Jhoom.
And we'll hear more from that later. That's fantastic. As I mentioned before, the song Hayat has a music video online, and it's lovely. Everyone should go online and check it out. First of all, what inspired the music video?
Oh, well, I'm lucky enough to have a friend who is a filmmaker. He's a feature filmmaker. And we meet periodically for lunch here in New York, and we've been meeting for a number of years, both in for the purposes of, you know, apart from just, you know, checking up on each other. We were meeting for somehow doing a video of mine. I wanted him to direct it because I really love the way he sets up his scenes in his feature films. One of his films is Bombay Summer, and I just really loved the way it was photographed and the way he set up scenes. So we would meet because I would want to, we would try to hatch a plan of him directing a music video of mine. And then also for the dual purpose of me doing a film.
What, 1 second, Kiran, it's suddenly hard to hear you. Can you repeat?
Okay.
Can you repeat what you were saying about the director?
Yeah. So the director is, I'm lucky enough to have in my friendship circle director, a film named Joseph Matthew. And is this better, by the way? I'm moving.
Okay.
To a better place.
Sure, sure. And as I understand
so,
it, oh, sorry.
We would meet from time to time here in New York City, and we would meet for the dual purpose of him perhaps directing my next music video and for me doing a song for his next film. So we would meet for this purpose, and then finally we got a time frame of when he was free to do this, when the cameraman that he really liked and I really liked was free to do this. And then I ended up having a couple of concerts in India, and this person who owns a boat, Laurige Boyer is his name, he's a Frenchman living in India, he owns a boat in Varanasi, and he emailed me and he said, I missed your concerts in India, can you let me know when you're going to be back? So then, of course, I checked out the Facebook page and saw that he owns this boat, which was ever so cute. And I thought, you know what? That's it. This is a song about life and how life is drifting by and how I feel like a refugee of life. And the boat is the perfect place to do this. So that's how I started setting up a three-day shoot for 3 days living and sleeping and shooting on the boat and on the surrounding islands.
Oh, I didn't realize it was only 3 days, but you were living on the boat. But that's just that's just a start. It wasn't really, well, smooth sailing, no pun intended. It wasn't really that simple. There were, as I understand it, there were a lot of adventures involved in the filming. So tell us some of those stories.
Absolutely. There was, we were in production for about a week. So, we did a bit of production here from New York City, and then when we got to Bombay, there was a week of production in Bombay, and then we finally flew to Varanasi for this 3-day shoot. And the day before that, we were waking up to go to Varanasi. The day before that, I woke up, and I had red spots all over my face and all over my body. So I woke up having this allergic reaction to mosquito bites. And, you know, I was trying to take the high road. I was trying to say, think to myself, well, that's okay. I don't need to look beautiful or, like, you know, perfect on this video. I guess I'll do this. It's, you know, whatever. I'll be making a statement of some kind. And then I walked into the production meeting, and the cameramen, their jaws just dropped. And they're like, oh, my God, that is just not, that's going to be atrocious on camera, on film. So everyone ran around like crazy to get me to a couple of different skin therapists. But really, the medicine that I kept on taking didn't actually do anything until two weeks after the shoot is when the red spots disappeared. So I had to shoot with it. But luckily, we had a lovely makeup person and hair person, Romy from France, who was part of the crew. And really, like, not even I can tell that there are, like, red spots underneath all of that that you see on the video.
Well, and it couldn't have been easy to to do this entire production when you're feeling less than great after waking up with a million mosquito bites and allergies and whatnot.
No, there were like so many different hurdles. Like when we got to the boat, we did our first shoot on an island, when the cameraman put the batteries in, the generator on the boat was so old that it blew up the camera batteries. So then we didn't have any camera batteries left. And we still had 2 days of shooting left, and we had to shoot it on whatever extra battery we had. So there were hurdles. Every hour, there was, like, a different hurdle. And it's really nothing short of a miracle that the video was even made. I mean, I have a kind of an off again, on again relationship with God. It's like a casual dating relationship, and the fact that I walked away with a video, I was definitely on with God.
So yeah, you probably weren't too crazy about God during the whole production, though.
But I had an amazing crew, so
wonderful. And your husband is renowned jazz guitarist Rez Abbasi, who was supposed to join us today but had a conflict and couldn't make it. You two often tour together and collaborate and compose together. And also, as I understand it, he was not able to join you for this production.
No, he has toured India a lot. But ever since the Bombay attacks in India, it's been hard for us to get a visa for him to India because he is of Pakistani birth. I am, of course, of Indian birth, so it's not a problem for me. But because he's from of Pakistani birth, the rules have changed, and it's been much, much harder for us to get a visa for him to India. But, you know, he's got a tour planned in November, and then I am working on a tour of mine that he should be on in next January. So we're really hoping that we can somehow figure out a way to do this to get him, to get a visa.
Yeah, definitely. It's very frustrating when the visas and politics stop us from getting to enjoy the music from others. So after all of those stories about this song, we have to hear the song. So let's have a listen to Hayat. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm guest host and producer Sarika Mehta. If you missed any of this show, you can hear it again on stageandstudio.org. My guest today is Kiran Ahluwalia, two-time Juno Award-winning modern Indian music singer who joins me today by phone from New York City. Her latest album is called Sanata Stillness. And we were just talking about the adventures in filming the music video for the song you were just listening to, Hayat. And so, we were talking about Hayat, and we listened to Sanata earlier in this program. What are some other songs that you like from this album? I really like Jaane Na and Jhoom. I like the rhythms that play in those.
I like those songs too. Jaane Na is something that I started composing because we were touring in Portugal, and my tabla player Nitin Mitha, he was. At that time, we were doing some slow songs, and he was feeling agitated that I'm telling him to slow down, because it's going to ruin the song if he speeds up. So he was a little agitated after this one certain sound check, and we were in Portugal, and he said, this is the rhythm. And he did the rhythm with his mouth, and he said, compose something with this rhythm, and don't make it deep. Just you know, don't make the words hard for you to do fast, and just do something in this rhythm, the fast rhythm. And so then, right then and there, we started just all of us improvising rhythmically, just with our mouths, like kind of like Indian beatboxing. And we started that, and that was the start of the song. And then when I came back home in New York City, I you know, couldn't get it out of my mind, and so I started composing some lyrics for it. And the song is about, it's about that self-sabotaging part of our brains that we all have, and it's about finding that door in our brains that you know, you're not willing to open. There's a sign there that says do not open. It's about opening that door, facing what's in there. It's about fighting a civil war with yourself and winning, figuring out how to win.
That's incredible. We do all have that civil war. It's just hard to win. So I like that there's a... And I like that Nitin won that too with his choice. And what about Joom? You had mentioned that was a cover.
Yes, Joom is a cover. So Joom, I first heard Joom when I was a little girl growing up in India as part of a movie. And the movie didn't do too well, but I loved that song. Always had remembered it. And I was just listening to old stuff, and I, you know, reheard that. And I thought, you know what, we can... Of course, you know, originally it's an all-acoustic song. It's done with harmonium and tabla, and that's it. And I thought, you know, we can really, I've got some ideas for this, for with electric guitar and electric bass, and I think I can do something different and modern with this. And so, you know, tried it, and it really worked. Everyone liked it. The whole band loves singing the chorus together. They love singing the chorus. And so it stayed with us, and we ended up recording it.
And we'll get to hear that later in the program. They are both really fun tracks, so our listeners should definitely check out the album. I wanted to talk a little bit more about your music overall, not just this album. You were most famous for your work as a ghazal fusion singer, which, you know, is a challenge, taking this very ancient form and enveloping these contemporary rhythms. And you've mentioned that your music has evolved over time to modern Indian music as opposed to classical. So tell us about this evolution.
Yeah, I have six albums now, and I've been a full-time musician for 15 years. Before that, I was still a musician, but, you know, doing other things to make a living. And I started off, and my training in India is Indian classical music and a song form that's called ghazal. And ghazal is a very high literary love poetry form set to music. And so I started off singing ghazal music, and then I you know, whenever I would hear something, I wanted to incorporate it into my music. So in my first couple of CDs, I liked some Latin American percussion that I heard, so I incorporated that. Then I liked Celtic fiddle, incorporated that, and did a couple of tracks with Valley McMaster, another Canadian fiddler. Went to Portugal for a couple of weeks to record Portuguese fado instrumentalists and to compose for them and to do that kind of record. And then I fell in love with Saharan Desert Blues. And this was the love that just hasn't shaken off of me. I first composed something that was influenced by Saharan Desert Blues in my fourth CD called Wanderlust. And the song is Tere Darshan. I have a video on that too. And so that was my very first song with electric guitar and these desert blues kind of riffs. And then ended up meeting the producer of this legendary Malian supergroup called Tenariwen. Ended up sending him my stuff, ended up recording my next fifth CD with Tenariwen. And composing stuff that would work with them. And then that just still hasn't left me. And so I'm still doing stuff with my band that is very influenced by the Saharan Desert Blues. And I couldn't find ghazal lyrics to fit what I'm doing. So that's why I basically kind of took a divergent track and didn't stick with ghazal, because ghazal lyrics weren't working with what I was envisioning as a song, as a melody, as a rhythm. And so because of this vacancy of not having the proper words, out of necessity, I started writing my own lyrics. Not because I thought I was a great poet, but I just needed something, some words to sing to the kind of songs that I wanted to make. And so I can't really call myself a ghazal poet, but basically I call myself a songwriter.
That's really interesting and a good segue to my next question. In fact, the last couple times you and I have met and talked, it was for the album Am Samin, Common Ground, which you recorded with Tenarawin, as you had mentioned. And this also won you your second Juno Award. So, well, first of all, I mean, tell us about winning the Juno for the second time. How did that feel? How was that experience?
It feels amazing. It's always amazing to get an award. I mean, it's never a bad feeling. And the Juno is the Canadian Grammy. It's the highest award that Canada can give you for your music. And I was brought up in Canada, born in India, brought up in Canada, and so it's lovely. And it's a great getting, like, a national award like that in your own country helps you to launch or to further your international career as well. So awards definitely help. I don't think anyone hates awards.
Of course. And you had mentioned collaborating with Tenarawin, especially on the Kavali track Must Must, which is one of my all-time favorite Kiran tracks, songs. Are they involved with the latest album?
No, they are not involved, but some of the best compliments I've received is that you wouldn't know that they're not involved, that you wouldn't know that there aren't Tuareg Malian desert blues guys on their camels with their electric guitars on my record. My guitarist and husband Reza Bassi have both spent a lot of time listening and figuring out the music of the Western Sahara in Morocco, in Mali. Have traveled to Timbuktu as well and played there with musicians from the region. And so we've been living this and breathing this kind of music for, 8 years or more. And so we kind of sound like that now. And I wanted to do a record just with my group without any collaborations, because collaborations get expensive. And I just felt like I didn't need to. It had the elements of the desert blues that I wanted.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the past 8 years and also your album Wanderlust. I have to tell the KBOO listener audience, the KBOO-verse, as I like to think of them, a little bit of nostalgia. I actually met Kiran Aluwalia for the first time nearly 8 years ago, and it was my first ever radio interview. And it was in Chicago as part of their World Music Festival. And at the time, Kiran and her band were promoting Wanderlust. And that experience for me was pretty fantastic, obviously. I'm still here so many years later. I don't know if you remember that trip as well. I totally remember that.
I remember us getting into I think we were talking about my sex life or something. I don't know. I do not know how you managed to do that in your very first interview, but... But you managed to make it X-rated, Sarika.
But yet FCC compliant. It was our own personal. Well, this is like our own personal throwback Thursday, except it's Tuesday. So I just wanted to, I'm still laughing about the X-rated. I just wanted to play a song, one of my favorites from that Wanderlust album, and it's called Mere Mate.
मेरे मत्थे दिल की रे तुझे इंजरा सरी वजह
So again, that was Mary Mate from Kiran Aluwalia's 2007 album, Wanderlust, some vintage Kiran for you as we take a stroll down memory lane. And I apologize, Kiran, for making it X-rated in my first ever radio interview with you.
Oh, don't apologize. I'm totally down with it. I probably sold more CDs because of that.
Again, the current album is called Sonata Stillness, and we are unfortunately we're coming to a close. Do you have any last remarks or a discussion that you wanted to bring up before we wrap up?
Well, the sex life is good. I'm really looking forward to hopefully coming back to Portland someday, Yeah, the album is available on iTunes and Amazon. If you like the music, please give it a listen.
Great. Well, thank you, Kiran Aluwalia, for chatting with us. And hopefully we'll get to see you back in this part of the country, in the Pacific Northwest. I expand our boundaries. I hope we get to see you back here soon enough. Thank you again so much.
Thank you, Saika. Thanks to everybody in Portland there.
And that's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks so much to engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of the show, visit kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also download shows at iTunes, and don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stageNstudio or tweet us at @StageNStudio. I'm Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dime Roberts, and we're going to go out with another song, as promised, by Kiran Aluwalia from the album Sonata Stillness. And this is Joom, which you were talking about earlier.
Women recently released from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, where we were in a program called the Family Preservation Project, which helped our children stay connected to us and taught us how to parent.
The Department of Correction chose to cancel the Family Preservation Project. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear how you can help us flip the switch on DOC's decision. Please support Senate Bill 939, which addresses the needs of children with incarcerated moms.
That's Prison Pipeline, June 22nd at 6:30 p.m.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, and the dreams that you dream of once in a lullaby.
You're tuned to KBOO Community Radio 90.7. Coming up next on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Mary Weaver Chapin, the curator of graphic arts at the Portland Art Museum, about David Hockney's show of 16 etchings called A Rake's Progress. First, a couple announcements.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Food Wars 8, hosted by Clinton Street Theater. This annual music and comedy festival is also a food drive and will feature entertainment from August in Blue, Bad Habit, Tragedy, Boomer, Belinda Carroll, and more. Again, that's Food Wars 8, Sunday, June 21st at 5 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland 5, presenting an evening with Brazilian classical guitar duo, the Assad Brothers, with Romero Lubombo, Wednesday, June 24th at the Winningstad Theater. Tickets and information for the Assad Brothers is available at portland5.com.
Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening.